Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Morning, church. How is everyone? Good. It's very cold out there, and you're all here. So it's either you're bored at home or you really love church. Which is it? That's the right answer. All right. So my name is Pastor Onami, for those who may not know me. Pastor Stephen sends his greetings. He's in Wella this morning. Before I get started, I just wanted to just say to Jared, you know, just during worship, I really felt strongly the Lord just showed me that you're a rough diamond. I don't know anything about diamonds or anything like that, but I just saw this huge diamond in the words rough diamond. And I also saw a picture of Jacob wrestling with God. And it's like he's saying that there's a wrestling going on. And that wrestling is for a purpose. And at the end of that wrestling, he will change your name. I don't fully understand that, but I would encourage you to just go back to God and just see what he says to you. Okay. So today we begin part two of the series, Money Rules. So it's a three-part series. And, you know, money, like Pastor Charlie just said, is one of those areas that, you know, it sometimes can be quite uncomfortable to talk about. But there's a reason we're doing a series on money. And that's because we know that God does not like poverty, because poverty does not glorify God. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be productive. So just a bit of a recap from last time. We talked about whose money is it anyway. We talked about what's your relationship with money and also what's my financial position. Today, we're going to look at lessons from the good and wicked servants or stewards. So a few years ago, I took a drive, which is what I do when I need to think. I took a drive and I went and parked in some bush. This is somewhere, this is in Port Hedland. And I parked in this bush and I sat there and I couldn't help being aware of the wealth I had accumulated in words, because I'm a words person. I had accumulated words. I mean, I'd written down so many ideas because I get so many of them and I just can't contain them, so I have to write them down. So it was rather bewildering to me that I had nothing to show for all that I had accumulated in terms of finances. $3.65. That's how much I had in my three bank accounts. 2 cents in one. I didn't even think that was possible. 93 cents in another. And $2.70 in another. And I wondered how on earth I had come to that place. Because I had so much confidence that God wanted good things for me. I had so much confidence that God had given me skills, abilities, talents. And yet I found myself in this place of powerlessness. And I just wonder for you, have you ever experienced some level of poverty? That's not a rhetorical question. Have you ever, has anybody here ever experienced poverty? Yes? No? The thing with poverty is it's relative. Some people will say they're poor, and some other people look at them and say, are you kidding me? You call that poverty? So poverty is relative, and there's levels to it. For some people, poverty is no money in the bank or negative balance. For some people, it's bills piling up. For some people, it's not knowing when your next meal, where your next meal is going to come from. For some people, it's having to preserve the petrol in your car or the fuel in your car to make sure that you get to your next destination. Whichever way you look at it, whichever way it comes to you, one thing we know for sure, poverty is oppressive. It leaves you powerless, and it has attached to it a lack of dignity. So how are we supposed to conduct ourselves when it comes to money, to our finances? So I just want to share from the Word of God, and I'm going to read from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verse 14 to 30. So just bear with me. This is from the NLT. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The seventh with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward and with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 2 more. The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even that little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A talent represented a rather large amount of money. And according to New Nave's Topical Bible, one who possessed 5 talents of gold or silver was a multimillionaire by today's standards. Some calculate the talent in the parables to be equivalent to 20 years of wages for the common worker. Now, I can't even fathom that. So what are some of the lessons from these good and faithful servants? We hear that the master called his servants. When I talk about servanthood, as Christians, our whole life belongs to God. And therefore, all we have is for the purposes of God. These faithful servants understood that they were there to serve their master and his purposes, not their own. John 12:26, NLT once again, "Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me, because my servants must be where I am. And the Father will honor anyone who serves me." If we are going to call ourselves followers, then we must understand that we are first servants. You see, servanthood is a condition of the heart. It's a posture. It's how we carry ourselves in relation to our master. Followers are servants, and servants follow. It talks about how servants must be where their master is. To me, that's about being on the same page as God. For us, are we on the same page with God in terms of how our lives are supposed to be, in terms of how we should use our money? We hear that the master entrusted money to them. I want to talk about this idea of entrusted. One simple definition of entrusted is to put something into someone's care or protection. Last week, Pastor Stephen touched on how before we can become good stewards, we need to settle this question of whose money is it? Is it mine or is it God's? Because that will determine how I use it. This master took what belonged to him and put it under the care and protection of his servants. Both you and I are entrusted with resources in terms of time, material wealth, and with how our life glorifies God. Back in my country in Botswana, one of the things that I really, really miss since coming to Australia is what they call an in charge. Now, I don't know if this is politically correct, but I'm talking about maids. So they call them maids or servants. But when we were growing up, they were called an in charge. And they were called that because really, that's what they were. There were servants in the home, but when the homeowner left, they left them in charge of everything. You never needed to worry about who's going to clean your house, who's going to cook your meals, who's going to bath your children, who's going to help them with homework, like the whole lot. And then I came to Australia. And I got the shock of my life. I had to do everything for myself. So I'm so grateful that my mother's here because she's being the in charge now. We hear that the servants received what they were given, that they invested it, and they earned from that investment. You see, they understood the importance of taking advantage of opportunities. The NIV and Amplified Version says that they went at once. The American Standard Version says straight away. Straight away. And the Message Bible says right off. They realized that there are seasons to opportunities and that those opportunities don't last forever. You see, there will be a time for most, if not all of us, when we can no longer go to a normal jobs because we've reached retirement age. Or other life circumstances have happened that prevent us from doing that. There will come a time where some of us can no longer start a family because there's been changes, especially for women, that, you know, we've got a biological clock. There will come a time when we are unable to use the same senses, our muscles, the functioning of our brain, and the list is endless. These servants took calculated risks. They worked with what they had, and they utilized all their skills. They knew their master and that he required results. You see, in the workplace, we understand this, that we can't just go to work and relax, although that's tempting. We recognize that if we don't produce, we could lose our jobs, right? That's why we have things like performance reviews in the workplace. We have key performance indicators. We have probationary periods. There's a reason we have all of those things, so that your employer can check you. So the question I have for you is this. We need to ask ourselves, am I taking advantage of the opportunities to invest my resources or the resources that God has given me in terms of time, in terms of money, in terms of skills, or am I holding on to some unrealistic idea of the perfect time? Because that's the challenge for some people. We wait for the perfect time. There are lessons we learn also from the so-called lazy servant. We hear that this one servant did something different from what the other two did. While others invested, he dug a hole. The servant who received this one bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And he thought he was doing the right thing. Because the thing is, he could explain it. He believed that his master was harsh. And he believed that his master was unfair and unjust because he had a tendency to gain from other people's hard work. That was his explanation for why he decided to dig a hole. He also feared making the wrong investment and losing the master's money. So he hid it in the earth. And the thing is, this servant was probably very proud of himself as he dug the hole and buried the money, because he knew that for sure, if I bury this, it will not be lost. The life experiences that we have with significant figures influence our beliefs, which in turn influence our thoughts, our feelings, and our behaviors, and ultimately our behaviors or responses towards God and the things that He has placed in our lives. Sometimes we can have false beliefs or mindsets about God, which can stop us from actually using what He has given us. We may have thoughts like, He's hard to please. Depending on the experiences that you've had, particularly experiences that you may have had with father figures. If you believe that your father is hard to please, chances are you will believe that God is hard to please, unless you've done the necessary work to resolve that. If you have a belief that, you know, you're never good enough, this can lead to fears, including things like fear of rejection. And that's how you interact with God. And that determines whether or not you invest what He has given you. One of the biggest challenges I've had is I had that fear of, I felt rejected by my biological father because he didn't raise me. And I also had a fear of my grandfather. He was just this tall, imposing person. So for a very long time, I feared doing the wrong thing by God and risking being rejected. So I waited on Him. I don't know if you've ever had that experience where you're saying, I'm just waiting on God, and you take no action. Year in, year out. I buried my gifts and talents that I believe God had given me. And the sad thing is, I truly believed I was doing the right thing. And I wonder if there's anyone in the room who can relate to that. You're just waiting on God. You're waiting for a word from God. And in the meantime, year after year, you're in the same place. But the thing is, what I was doing is I was merely investing in fear. Fear of getting it wrong, fear of making a fool of myself, and fear of being judged. I wonder for you, what are you hiding? What have you buried in the name of protecting God's property? What holes are you digging year in and year out? We learn from the servant about an inability to be faithful with the little. You see, the thing is, we must be willing to take risks. For some people, that word is a very scary word, risks. All he could say was, I was afraid. I was afraid. The thing is, no risk, no reward, whichever way you look at it, whichever area you think about it, no risk, no reward. How can I ask God for more if I'm not even being faithful with the little that He has given me? He had no profit, he had no gain to give his master. So his talent was taken away and given to the one who went to work with the master's money and made great gains. Comparison paralyzes. Some of us, our struggle is that we compare. We look at what we've got. If I think, you know, someone has got an amazing voice, and then I listen to my own voice, I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to try anything because I can't do what he does or what she does. It's a dangerous thing, and it's an insult to God. We also learn from this servant about remaining the same. Still in the same condition. The servant said to his master, look, here is your money back. He thought he was doing the right thing by digging. In the article, Is It Moral to Turn a Profit? By Robert A. Sirico, he says that according to rabbinical law, burying was actually regarded as the best security against theft. If a person entrusted with money buried as soon as he had it in his possession, he would be free from liability if anything should happen. The scripture tells us that it was after a long time that the master returned. You see, when I read the Bible, I think every word matters. If I remove that word, it changes the meaning. So I wondered, why was that word in there? Why did we know? Why didn't they just said after some time? But it said after a long time, the master returned, meaning that there was a passage of time allowed by the master. And I can imagine that this was time to think. This was time to invest. This was time to use talents. This was time to multiply. And yet everything was just as he had left it. You see, the master had a different view about what it meant to bury the talent. To him, it was not a good thing, because to him, it was about a loss, because he valued investments and returns from those investments. You see, when things remain in the same condition that they were when they were first given, there is no growth. Despite his explanation, this third servant's actions were seen as nothing but excuses and laziness. Looking over your own life, and I would like you to think about this. In the last 6 months, in the last 12 months, 5 years, the last 10 years, the last 20 years, have you changed? Have you used what God has given you? Or are you still in the same condition you were when you first gave your life to Christ? Or are you still holding on to the last word that God gave you and you're just waiting for the next word, but you have done nothing with the last one that he gave you? Question to ponder. We also learn from this servant about the master's worldview. You know, I really enjoy words. I like words. They fascinate me. So my next slide says, are you kidding me? Are you serious? What's the Australian version of that? Okay, are you joking? Okay, I had to look up some words here. You see, the master was astonished. He was perplexed. He was dumbfounded. He was floored. He was shocked. He was blown away. My favorite is this. He was flabbergasted. The master was flabbergasted. I can just imagine the master saying this. So, I entrusted you with something based on what I know you are capable of. And yet, you made a decision to bury it. Wow. That would be the last thing he says. Wow. You see, God has expectations of us. Nature tells us that, because we have developmental stages. The way that we deal with an infant is different to how we deal with a toddler, which is different to how we deal with a school-age child, and also different to how we deal with a teenager. I have every one of those. So I know what I'm talking about. God expects a different response as we grow, as we move along the stages. He doesn't expect us to remain in the same place. And he is left stumped when growth is stunted because of inaction on our part. Lastly, I want to talk about given and taken away. I've always found this idea quite scary, that what was given was taken away. I felt sorry for the servant, that he already had a little, and that was taken away. But then I realized that my perspective was faulty. When you compare him with the other two, then you will feel sorry for him. But when you look at the fact that he was given based on what he could handle, because it says according to their abilities, he gave. I wondered why it was taken away and given to the first servant and not the second one. And I believe it's because the master was trying to teach something. Because both of them doubled what they'd been given. But the first one, the difference was how he started. He started with 5. The second one started with 2. The third one started with 1. It was taken from the one who had one and given to the first one. Because I believe that the master was trying to highlight his view on exponential growth, right? And also realizing that he knew that that first servant could do more. So God wanted to highlight, or the master wants to highlight this thing about multiplication and how important it is to him. The master knew his servants. They were given according to their ability, which is the means or skill to do something or proficiency in a particular area. We are given all that we can handle. If you've watched the movie Lord of the Rings, which I always fall asleep watching, I never make it to the end, Fellowship of the Ring, there's a character of Sam who's given a rope when others were given daggers or swords, and he felt like, you know, why am I being given this thing? He felt inferior. But for his purpose, that rope was sufficient. For your purpose, what you have been given is not inferior, it is sufficient. They also understand the law of use. I might get the band to come up. The law of use, what you don't employ, you forfeit. He took the talent, buried it, so nobody could steal it. And nobody did steal it. But he lost it. What is not used today will be lost. Sometimes we might say, oh, I'll do it another time. But there is a time for everything. So, my key message for us is this. Consider for yourself, what am I holding on to? What do I have in my hand? What are the gifts and talents that I've decided I'm not going to use because I feel like they're not good enough? I feel like they're not the same as the other person's. It's an insult to God. So this morning, I just want to finish off with this and just going to pray for some people. Catherine Kuhlman, great American evangelist, powerful healing ministry. In one of her books, she wrote this. Lord Jesus, if you can take nothing, use it. It says, take my hands, take my voice, take my mind, take my body, take my love. It's all I have. If you can use it, I give it to you. And he has taken my nothing and used it to his glory. It isn't golden vessels he asks for. It isn't silver vessels, it's yielded vessels. The secret is yieldedness to the Lord. Then she goes on to say, one day I will have preached my last sermon. I will have prayed my last prayer, and I will stand in his glorious presence. Oh, I have thought of this many, many times. I have often wondered what would be my first words to him. The one whom I have loved so long, yet have never seen. What will I say when I stand in his presence? Somehow I know the first words I will say when I look in his wonderful face will be, dear Jesus, I tried. I didn't do a perfect job because I was human and made mistakes. There were failures. I am sorry, but I tried. That is my prayer this morning, that we would all say, but I tried. I just get you all to stand. I just want to pray for some people. You know, when I was preaching last week in Wellard, one of the things I said was this. A lot of us, when we think about breakthrough, we think about breakthrough in our finances. We pray for breakthrough in our finances. But I think the greatest breakthrough is a breakthrough in our mindset. Because a miracle will bless you just that one moment. But the miracle, the best miracle, is when there's a shift in your thinking about who you are, about what God wants to do with your life, and what God wants to do with your money, His money that He has entrusted to you. So I just want to pray for people around mindset. If you feel, you know when you have a messed up mindset, you know when you think, oh, God never wants to help me, or God doesn't want to, or God is wanting to punish me, or I will never amount to anything, or this is not for me, it's for those people. That's a messed up mindset. So I want to pray for that. I also want to pray for people who need forgiveness about lost opportunities. Who say, I lost my opportunities. It's too late for me. It's never too late. It's never too late. Not with God. Forgiveness of self and focusing on the future is what will set us on a path of freedom. For those that God has been speaking to certain things, to start certain things, and to stop other things, now is the time to resolve to do so. So that's the other area I want to pray into. So if you feel that you fall into any of those categories or you just need prayer, please come to the front. There's be a team here to pray with you. And I just let the band continue. But please, if you need prayer around those areas, using the gifts, the talents, the money to glorify God,